Our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's bring in Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's happening, man?
What's going on?
All right, let's talk about the Orioles first. And you know, we just heard Manzolino talking about, this one stings. It reminds me of the 8-0 game that we blew in Tampa a few weeks back. But I'm looking more recency bias. Since then, they've stacked some wins. They just swept a series in Atlanta. And then to lose last night after being up 6-2 with one of your more reliable pitchers on the mound. So, they've got a lot of crappy losses, let's be honest. But if for a team that's trying to eke into whatever they're trying to eke into, how many setbacks is this really for them, even though it's only one game?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the question. Is like, how do these games impact them psychologically? And I had asked Gunnar Henderson basically a similar question to that yesterday when we spoke to him before the game. Just, you know, our losses, I asked him just like, our losses, do losses feel bigger? Do wins, you know, feel even more motivating than usual, considering every game is just that much more important? And I think last night, you know, losing games like that, I think those have to hurt a little more, because you had it in your hands and it slips away. It's one, you know, you're still in a way, and you've done this multiple times. And then it happens at home. And I just feel like this year's version of the Orioles, we get at least one true stinker a week, whether it's a 8-0 shutout or a 4-run blown lead going into the eighth inning. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter. It's come at different varieties. But I think last night is a top three loss of the season for me. I think it's behind the Easter Day debacle, or massacre, I should say.
Right.
And then the collapse, the collapse in Toronto, in Tampa, I should say, that Manzo mentioned last night. I don't know which one is one and two, but the one last night for me is three.
All right. Trade deadline's in less than a month, Cordell. How many current Orioles are going to be ex-Orioles a month from now?
I mean, that number has a wide range, honestly. You have the guys that are on the one-year deals, like the Mullins, like their all-star, O'Hearn. I do think Eflin being on the IL and not having a lot of time when he does come back, if he comes back on time, not having a lot of time to really showcase whatever the best version of him is, because even before he went on the IL, we weren't getting that version of Eflin. He had been spiraling for a while, and same thing with Sagano. His value has gone down. So I wonder if that now brings into play other guys that maybe weren't a part of the trade picture, like a Dean Kramer, potentially. I'm still not for trading Batista just yet, unless I'm blown away for an offer. But I think we already saw that movie of, you know, what it looks like when you think you can. I don't think anybody thought Kimbrel was going to replace him, but I don't think anybody thought it looked like that all year, you know. So I think those guys could go. And other than that, I want to see who they decide to keep from this team even going forward, guys that do have control. It'll be a weird type of trade deadline for them, because this week kind of may impact that, to see how they close out this week. But I still expect them to be sellers. I think they should have sold a couple of pieces already. Just how big a sellers is what I'm curious to see.
All right, Cordell, the rookies report in less than a week. You know, and then our first practice out there is on the 23rd. Really no injuries. When do you think we'll see Emery Jones Jr., or will we?
I mean, that's the question for me. Will we see him? Haven't seen him to this point, obviously, and there doesn't necessarily seem to be a pinpoint, you know, of, okay, we're expecting him at this point. So I don't know. But they're in a spot, at least today, to where it's not like they're in dire need for him to get out there, but it's clear he'll be a little behind. I just hope that it's not a situation that lingers too long. And honestly, I don't know how much they were expecting this when they drafted him. I wonder how much of a shock this all was to them. But yeah, Emory Jones, I'm curious to see what his first day would be, but I'm not expecting him at the start of camp.
Hey, Cordell, how if Tyler Loop kind of kicks like the last 3 days that we saw him, if he does that, how soon will a veteran kicker be coming in to compete too?
Very soon. I don't think they'll wait very long. Obviously, they have the commitment to Loop, and they'll give him every opportunity. But I'm surprised that there hasn't been a veteran brought in here yet. I'm surprised there wasn't a veteran brought in before they even let Tucker go. Like, honestly, it kind of baffles me that they've gone this long and have kind of just went about it the way that they have and seeing what these two young guys can do. But I don't – if that same version of Loop that we saw at the back end of minicamp mm-hmm. is going to be there for the first, let's say, 2 weeks of camp or first couple of days, yeah, I just don't know how long they're going to let that – they're going to allow themselves to watch that. This team is too good to allow the kicker to be the thing that holds them back this year. So I would expect that they would bring a veteran in early in camp.
Cordell, you know what I'll be anxious to see? When we get to the 53, like if everybody stays healthy, how many rookies, you know, are going to make it or I guess probably mm-hmm. not make it, you know? Because I think that's what's going to be interesting because they think, you know, you're not going to be able to get a lot of them onto the practice squad because everybody's going to be looking at the Ravens roster.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think in my mind, maybe 4 to 5, I could see making it. I'm thinking just spitballing. Obviously, the top two with Green and Malachi Starks, and I think Wester ends up making it. He was drafted for a reason. I think Buchanan ends up making the team. I think they're going to want to see something from him. And look, they don't have a lot of options at linebacker as is. But I don't think they're going to play a lot of linebackers either.
Nope.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I could see that. And then you got to throw Loop into the situation right now, at least. I think it'd have to be completely a complete nightmare if Tyler Loop doesn't make this roster. I just don't see a situation where that happens, at least today. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, other than that, everybody else could be a crapshoot. Even, you know, this Emory Jones situation – I don't know what to expect from this right now.
Cordell Woodland, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to have Richard Skinner there, Cordell, from WKRC in Cincinnati. The Ravens' biggest threat in the AFC North, is it going to be the Bengals, Steelers? Can't be the Browns. I mean, come on, how do we make fun of the Browns? I mean, where is it coming from? How scary could the Bengals be this year?
I mean, look, they can be scary because their offense, this is an offensive league, and their offense can look like the best offense in football at times. They are just so explosive. They have the best 1-2 wide receiver combination in the league. They have Joe Burrow. Chase Brown was really good for them last year with Joe Mixon going to Houston. The offensive line still remains to be a question, but they're going to score points. It's just a matter of can they stop anybody again. I'm not so certain that we may not see the same thing over again with the Bengals. You know, they have to stop somebody eventually, no matter how many points they score. It wouldn't shock me if Pittsburgh is ahead of Cincinnati again this year. It wouldn't shock me at all. That deep, I think Pittsburgh could possibly contain Cincinnati a little bit with the defense that they've been building. So, yeah, it'll be curious between those two. But right now, I do have the Bengals, but it wouldn't shock me if Pittsburgh kind of swaps places with them.
Cordell Woodland, we got you covered here as he's got the Orioles and the Ravens and the Terps covered. And, of course, Fresh Take Sports here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Cordell. See you Monday.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Got the whip around. And then Richard Skinner will be joining us from WKRC 12 in Cincinnati.